Welcome to the Regent Candidate Forum hosted by the University of Minnesota Alumni Association in partnership with the state legislature. I'm Jim Dubois, and I'm an alumnus of the University of Minnesota. I also served on the board of the University of Minnesota Alumni Association and am a past chair. In my semi-retirement, I still do a number of projects such as podcasting. I walked away after a long career in electronic media, and now I am actually back at the University of Minnesota as a student studying atmospheric science and renewable energy. I'm joined by my colleague, Sarah Tamer, who actually escaped from Badger territory and returned to her maroon and gold roots. Sarah, tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Jim. I'm Sarah Tamer. I'm a senior reporter for NPR News on the Race, Class, and Communities team. I graduated from the University of Minnesota with a degree in broadcast journalism and public health. Most recently, I was in Wisconsin as a television reporter and anchor, and I'm thrilled to be with you all tonight.
With more than 613,000 University of Minnesota living alumni system-wide, the University of Minnesota Alumni Association recognizes the importance of the university as an economic engine that impacts nearly every aspect of our state and beyond. We also thank all of you for attending today's forum. It's important to note that the University of Minnesota Alumni Association does not endorse any candidate for regent. The forum and candidate guide we have created are two resources to assist alumni, the general public, and legislators and their staff in getting to know and meet the regent candidates, recommended, of course, by the Regent Candidate Advisory Council. The forum is being broadcasted and recorded through Minnesota Senate Media Services.
We will have two sessions. Session one will be for the second and third congressional district positions, and session two will be for the eighth congressional district and at-large positions. One quick note, candidate William Humphreys for the third congressional seat had a pre-scheduled conflict and has provided responses in advance, which we will read. You can also see his information in the Regent Candidate Guide. So thanks to those who pre-submitted questions on the University of Minnesota Alumni Association website. Please note, before we ask questions from the audience today, we will start each session with two questions from those that were pre-submitted questions. Each question is different. For those in attendance, please write your questions on the question card and flag a member of the University Alumni Association staff who will be circling around the room. Staff, please wave. The forum format is as follows. We will start by inviting each candidate to give a 60-second opening statement.
I will then ask questions the University of Minnesota Alumni Association has received in advance of the event this evening. Candidates have a 30-second response time. We will then move to questions from the audience and wrap up with each of you providing a 30-second closing statement. We will rotate the order of the candidates. Answers to the questions are timed. Our timer will give you a 10-second warning by holding up a yellow paper sign. University of Minnesota Alumni Association staff member Dan Gary will serve as your timer and hold up the sign. Once you see this yellow 10 seconds remaining sign, we ask that you wrap it up. A red stop sign will be waved when the time limit is reached. Now, Sarah will start us off with opening statements.
All right, we will start alphabetically by last name with second congressional candidates, followed by third congressional candidates. So we'll go ahead with second congressional district candidate Joe Atkins.
And thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Jim. You guys are a hard act to follow. You got such radio voices that make the rest of us nervous. But well, for those of us who have a great affinity for the University of Minnesota, this is the kind of room we like to be in, surrounded by alums. I was quite honestly a little surprised to make it through the process because I gave a message of tough love to the advisory council, and that was that as much as I have this great affection for the university, as a legislator, I carried so many of the bills on behalf of the U. I've got a rug with a gopher on it, for goodness sakes. But at the same time, it struck me that there's been, quite honestly, one preventable headache after another at the university. And unfortunately, the sense that I have is that there's a need to get out of that boardroom and get down into the lunchroom and get over here into the committee rooms. And that was the message that I shared with the advisory council. That's the message that I've shared with legislators, and that's the message that I hope that you and the members of the Board of Regents hear. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin Gully.
Thank you so much for having me here tonight. It would be hard to overstate what an honor it is and a privilege to be here. Like so many Minnesotans, the University of Minnesota has shaped much of my life. I first joined the University of Minnesota as a graduate student at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. And since then, I've worn many hats: graduate assistant, human rights fellow, researcher, adjunct professor, and member of the faculty union organizing committee. I've experienced the best of the university, working with world-class faculty and helping students find a lifelong passion for learning. And I've experienced the university's shortcomings in areas like access, student debt, campus safety, housing, mental health services, and worker protections, all of which are areas where the university has significant area for growth. I want to be part of creating the future of the University of Minnesota. And as a policymaker, the question I always ask myself is who benefits and who decides? I'll bring that to my work as a regent with a vision for creating a campus and creating a university for all Minnesotans where we're developing access and inclusion. Thanks.
And as I mentioned earlier, I'll be reading on behalf of William Humphreys. My name is William Humphreys, and I would like to represent you as regent on the board of University of Minnesota. As a former university athlete, I had the opportunity to participate in football, which represented individuals from all races, economic levels, and background. This experience prepared me to work alongside others, despite our differences, to achieve a common goal, and that was to represent the University of Minnesota. As a business owner at Crispin Green in Dinkytown and former student, I know firsthand some of the challenges that you face. Creating a safe environment at an affordable price should be the goal. I believe we have opportunity at both. With me on the board, we can work to make sure that both issues are addressed. And with that, we'll move on to Bill Luther.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation, and nice to see all of you here this evening. I grew up on a farm in greater Minnesota. I was fortunate to get my electrical engineering degree from the Institute of Technology at the University of Minnesota, and then my law degree from the University of Minnesota Law School. after that, I was also privileged to serve 20 years in the Minnesota legislature, before Joe Atkins served, but I got to know him well because he was in my district. I then served 8 years in the United States Congress, and following that, last year, I was appointed to serve on the Bipartisan Office of Congressional Ethics in Washington, D.C. If elected regent, I intend to work in the same kind of bipartisan collaborative way that I have served in my past positions. And I thank you for this opportunity.
Okay. And third congressional district candidate, Mary Turner.
Good evening. My name is Mary Turner, and what I bring to the table is I started my advocacy role for the people of Minnesota back in 2010 at the age of 50. And I continued advocating for people. That role grew. I've traveled all over Minnesota advocating for patients, my profession, workers, but also the people of Minnesota. That role grew when I became president of Minnesota Nurses Association in 2016. It grew again when I became the chair of the board of Isaroon. For now, I am advocating for immigrants and the Somali population. I literally have been to all four corners of this state. I know this state. I know what the students need. I know what our people of Minnesota need. I may not be from the U of M, but I'll tell you what. I am the people of Minnesota. I represent the people of Minnesota, and I would gladly do that here as the Board of Regents.
Thank you. Penny Wheeler.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being here on something that's so important to so many students, impacts hundreds of thousands of people who have been touched by the university, and affects the great state of Minnesota. I believe I am well qualified for this role based on a passion for the U, a commitment to the university, and actually a broad depth of experience. So the passion occurs from, I'm a triple gopher. Everybody who knows me know that's part of my identity, my undergraduate medical degree and my residency as an obstetrician gynecology, all from the University of Minnesota. I've continued to stay engaged with the University of Minnesota, from everything from meeting with student groups to serving on the University of Minnesota Foundation for the past 6 years. I also have a broad depth of experience, too, as a frontline caregiver, as a physician, and then rising as from a frontline into leading one of the large healthcare organizations in the state, Allina Health. Very similar to the complexities of the University of Minnesota. Served on 12 governing boards so far, so I have governance experience. And lastly, I'll say I have a same-sex spouse and a member of the LGBTQIA+, I got that, community, and believe I know what it's like to be left behind and left out, and I would serve all as I have in all my roles.
Thank you. We're moving on now to our first pre-submitted question. Remember, you have 30 seconds to respond. And the question is, how should the Board of Regents lead on strengthening diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging at the University of Minnesota? And we will start out with the second congressional district candidate, Robin Gulley.
So this is something that's been incredibly important to me. I am on the City Council of West St. Paul, and it's an area that we've seen for growth in our city and that we've been working on. I think it essentially comes down to making sure that we're getting input from stakeholders, from our entire community, and making sure that we're including voices from everyone. And I think the other thing that the university has done is, as it's worked to become a top-tier research institution, it hasn't always brought brought everyone in to the university. So on the Board of Regents, I would work to do that.
Thank you. Joe Atkins.
And thank you, Jim. First off, I'd compliment Robin and the community of West St. Paul on their efforts. They've done a fabulous job. Similarly, at Dakota County, where I'm a county commissioner, we do the same, take the same sort of outreach efforts. With respect to the University of Minnesota's Board of Regents, I'd suggest the first thing they should do is get together with those communities that are impacted. The institution, the Board of Regents, unfortunately, has become somewhat insular in the way that they make decisions. Getting out and meeting with impacted communities is the first step that they ought to take. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving now to our third congressional district candidates, Bill Luther.
Thank you. Well, that's a very timely issue to raise. Obviously, the university should be in the forefront of sensitivity to that particular issue. I look at the meeting they had on the issue of crime. Campus crime, for example. That's a good example of the kind of meeting and outreach that could be conducted on a variety of other issues. And I would suggest this issue, for example. And then when it comes to selecting regents, having regents that have walked the talk on that issue. And I would encourage you to look at my background or the background of any of the other candidates to hear what they have done in the past on that particular issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Turner.
I've had some recent experience since 2018, getting to know a specific culture and getting to know more fully the immigrant culture, the Somali culture with the being on the board of Israel. And the way to solve these issues is to go amongst them and to learn their culture. And that means going amongst the students of our immigrant populations and our other cultures, and just getting to know them, getting to know their feedback, and working directly with them. That's the only way, is boots on the ground, learning these students and what they need.
Thank you. Penny Wheeler.
Yeah, this is core to everything that I mentioned at the beginning, too, but it's core to everything we do. That everybody has to. We're a land-grant university that has to serve all. We have to take a deep look at self, I think, and see what our own unconscious biases are, and then look at our organization and have measurable outcomes that show that we're making a difference in closing the gap where disparities have occurred before. I have a long track record of doing that in my previous organization.
Thank you. And now I will read William Humphrey's answer to this question. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. As a black man from Detroit, I am the recipient of many decisions made that impact minorities, but we are seldom in the room when these decisions are being made. If our Board of Regents resembled our stakeholders, our road to diversity, equity, and inclusion would give everyone a sense of belonging at the University of Minnesota.
Okay, before we move on to the second pre-submitted question, I want to remind the audience to submit questions using the online form at umnalumni.org slash Forum 23, or by using the provided question cards. The Board of Regents makes many difficult decisions that impact various stakeholders. How do you believe the Board should address these complex decisions while considering stakeholder perspectives? We'll start with 2nd Congressional District candidate Joe Atkins.
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but the first and most important thing is to get out of the boardroom, meet individually with student groups, with public groups. Frankly, they don't even have public comment during Board of Regent meetings. Those sorts of things make a difference when it comes to making good decisions. And as accomplished and educated and experienced as a board is, the best decisions are made when they include public input.
Robin Gulley.
I have to agree with Commissioner Atkins on this, that the main, the biggest thing that we have to do is get input from all of the stakeholders. That includes students, faculty, that includes adjunct faculty and low-wage workers, that includes people in the community nearby. That means students and community members, not only from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, but from all over. We need real pathways for people to talk to the regents regularly. One of the things that I've done on the West St. Paul City Council also is to do video updates after all of our sessions, and that's something that I would love to bring to the regents. We need two-way communication regularly. Thank you.
All right, we're moving on now to the 3rd Congressional District candidates, and we'll start with Mary Turner.
One thing we've used at Minnesota Nurses Association on our board is to have something called the good of the order. This is the last 30 minutes to an hour at the end of the board that is open to anyone that signs up to come and speak to the board. This is something that I would love to have at our Board of Regents, if I make it, that this would be given opportunity for legislators, students, workers, anyone who needs to have a voice to be heard could be heard at this time.
Penny Wheeler.
Yeah, I think clear decision-making really requires deep engagement. So that has to be multiple forms of that, either attending forums, meeting with groups, having public testimony occurring, looking at survey data, looking at comment periods and things like that to raise those voices. That's the way you make the best decision, is that all voices be raised.
And I'll be reading on behalf of William Humphreys again. I believe that the Board of Regents should develop inclusive avenues to listen and use stakeholder roundtables to get the necessary feedback to address complex decisions. I would ensure we take an inclusive approach to ensure that each group is represented. Effectiveness of the board decisions can only be measured against the root cause of the problem that we are trying to solve and making sure that it is being adequately addressed. We'll move on to Bill Luther.
Thank you. I think it takes an understanding of the difference between a private corporation and the Board of Regents. A private corporation, shareholders or the board of directors has a fundamental duty to maximize shareholder value. That's the role. When you are with a land-grant university and on the Board of Regents, your duty is to provide research, education, and the benefits of the university to all citizens. That means all stakeholders of a state. And so it's up to you to go out and reach those stakeholders so that you can make the right decision. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the audience pre-submitted questions portion. We are now going to move on to questions from the audience, both in person and online. You each have 30 seconds for your response, and here is our first question. How will you, as a new board member, work to create more connection and unity within the board itself and the top U of M executive administration? And we will start out, first of all, with the 2nd Congressional District candidates, Robin Gulley.
Yeah, so having collegial and friendly relationships with all of the people that you work with is one of the most important things. In fact, I come from an organizing background, and relationships are everything. So as a new board member, I would strive to get to know as many people and personally get to know people on the Board of Regents and in the administration. But again, I also think that the most important thing that we can do is to get out of the Board of Regents space and talk to as many stakeholders as possible.
Thank you, Joe Atkins.
So when I retired from the legislature, the last week I was here, a House research person came up and said, did you know that you passed more bipartisan bills the last 10 years than any other legislator? And I didn't really know that I had, but I had some guess to that. And there was a reporter nearby. A reporter said, well, how'd you do that? And the snarky comment that I was, I said, well, it's very complicated. I got up out of my chair and I walked across to the other side and I talked to people. And we went to ball games together and we got to know one another. Do the same thing I did as a legislator, that I did as a mayor, that I do as a county commissioner, that I do with my friend Robin on the city council, and that is build relationships to get good things done. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move now to the third congressional district position, and Penny Wheeler.
Yeah, well, I agree with both Joe and Robin. It's all about relationships at the end of the day and how you do that. I think that for the Board of Regents particularly, you have to look at what the shared priorities are and always oriented. I always say the most important leadership lesson is never forget who you're serving and why. And agree on those shared priorities. Also agree to disagree, but not be disagreeable, I'd say, is a way. But it is about relationships at the end of the day and doing the right thing.
Thank you. Bill Luther.
I think it's about relationships, and I think it's about attitude. You have to have the right attitude in this business in order to get things done. And that means a positive attitude, a can-do attitude, one that you're willing to let other people share in, be part of a team. And that's the way you have to work, certainly in the legislature, certainly in Congress, and I believe also on the Board of Regents.
Thank you. Mary Turner.
I live by the rule that there's seven sides to every story. And so for in my world, that means that I am going to look for at least seven different perspectives. Now, that can mean all the other board members, which I would get their contact information right away and make those relationships. But that also means getting amongst the workers and the students, which I have actually already started to do, get my contacts, so that when I get information that we have to read and study and make decisions on, I'm not going to just do what's written. I'm going to go to people that can give me some of those six other sides of the story before I can make a decision.
All right, we'll move on to our fourth question from the audience. Regents have a fiduciary duty to the institution. Who is the institution? The students, administration, faculty, alumni? Who are you ultimately in position to serve? And we'll start with second congressional candidate Joe Atkins.
Thank you, Sarah. I don't need 30 seconds. The question that needs to be asked on every decision is what is best for students. That'll answer your question right there. Second derivative question is what's best for the employees, help those students succeed. When you answer those two questions, it makes it very easy to make the right decision.
Thank you. Robin Gulley.
So having been at the university for a long time, and now I sit on the West St. Paul City Council and I work as a labor educator with the Minnesota AFL-CIO, I see this deep, incredible need for people to be able to access higher education who aren't getting access right now. And when I look around the state, I see that we are not doing everything we can to build future leaders. And that's who I think our stakeholders are. It's not just the students who are at the University of Minnesota right now. It's not just the people who are at the university right now. It's our future. It's the people that we are developing to be future leaders of our state.
All right, we'll move on to third congressional candidate, Bill Luther.
excuse me. Clearly, students would be top priority because we are serving a large body of students. But a land-grant university has an obligation to the entire state and the people of the state. And I think you hear a lot of criticism about our university becoming a metro university. We have to protect against that. This should be a university for the entire state. And I think all of those the groups that you mentioned are stakeholders without question, and they have to be part of the consideration. And certainly throughout the entire state, greater Minnesota as well as the metro. Okay.
Thank you. Mary Turner.
I agree that the whole state needs to be involved. As far as like the budget, say the budget comes along and we have to decide where the money goes. I would commit to making site visits to all of our campuses so that we can see what they need, such as one campus that I checked in with before. They've got elevators that are broke. They've got leaky roofs. Okay, these kind of things need to be fixed before we start deciding that we're going to make new buildings. So I agree with everyone else. The students come first.
Thank you, Mary. Penny?
Yeah, I would agree that the core is the students and the prospective students, to add what Robin appropriately added. And everything is in service of that. So you cannot have a wonderful student experience without an effective and excellent staff, and without an effective and excellent, you know, professors, and without effective leadership. So those are all in service to the core, which is the students.
Thank you. Moving on now to question five. As a regent, how would you support student safety initiatives for all students? We'll start with the second congressional district candidates and Robin Gulley.
The University of Minnesota has worked very hard over many years to improve student safety, and it is a constant challenge and a constant struggle. When it comes down to it, I think the biggest thing that we can do is get input from the stakeholders. So get input from the students who live on campus, who are around campus all the time, about what things we can do better. I know the university has its text alert system and has lots of different things in its structures to let students know what's going on, but we need to hear from the stakeholders about what we can do better.
Thank you. Joe Atkins.
Thank you, Jim. Now you're in my wheelhouse. So I chaired the last year the Metropolitan Emergency Services Board, served on a number of different public safety committees. If you aren't safe, you can't learn. And right now we got a problem. I commend the regents for reaching out, for getting input. Like Robin said, they've held a number of meetings. A good first step is the $5 million request that the board has made that would improve lighting, improve cameras, improve personnel on the ground. That would make a real difference. The way you get that done is by having relationships here at the legislature, which is what I'll talk about in my closing statement because I'm going to get stop sign.
And we'll move on now to the third congressional district position. Mary Turner.
Just like we have at our hospital at North Memorial, I would propose having a safety committee. A safety committee that would meet on a regular, like monthly basis, that would have all these stakeholders that people are talking about. They could devise a reporting system. There would be report outs at every board meeting. Maybe there is already. Kudos if it is. But about the safety issues. But these stakeholders would be students, workers, our security, the police force, our governance board. I myself would volunteer to be the regent board liaison to this safety committee.
Thank you. Penny Wheeler.
Yeah, I would say, you know, that's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? They have to be safe. I mean, every parent who sends their child to school wants them to be safe, wants them to graduate in 4 years and have a place to go after they graduate that they're thrilled about. Those are the things that are wanted. So safety is important. I think the university's on the right track. I mean, they move from just safety on campus to actually partnering with other organizations, institutions, police departments, community councils, and everything to do all of the initiatives that would make it safer. And they're trying things out for 2-week periods and seeing what works too. So I think they're on the right track, but it's core to what we need to do.
Thank you. Bill Luther.
Safety is the number one issue for the students and for their families. And I think the big meeting that was held some time ago, and that was a good start, but a lot more needs to be done. And I think, like at board meetings, for example, I support the idea of getting input from the public, the students, at those board meetings. And I think that would be another opportunity for them to continue this kind of dialogue on the safety issue. It could be take other forms as well. But I see that meeting, the meeting that students were involved in, is just the beginning.
Thank you. To stay on time, we'll move to the 30-second closing statements. William Humphreys' provided remarks were allowed to go slightly longer since he was not able to answer the audience questions. So to mix it up a bit, we will proceed in the opposite order of opening statements, starting with Robin Gulley.
So like I said, I'm just thrilled to be here and to have the opportunity to sit in front of you and talk about the University of Minnesota. I have deep love for the university and have had the experience across campus to see the ways that we can, that it can be better, that we can serve not only our current students, but the future of Minnesota. We have the opportunity to create the leadership that we need for the future. So I'm so grateful and thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you. Joe Atkins.
So not every region should be a former legislator, but it helps to have one. And the reason for that, look at how we've seen the difference in funding for the University of Minnesota from the Capitol the last 2 decades. Look at the difference that we've seen in funding of HEPR and public works projects. Those sorts of things are a function of the relationships that the board has or lacks here at the legislature, and that's what I bring to the table. That said, I'm a huge fan of Robin Gullies too. You can't go wrong here, folks. So I'm with Robin. Very much appreciate being a candidate and having the opportunity to visit with you tonight. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Joe. Moving on to the third congressional district candidate, Penny Wheeler.
Yeah, thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you to the Alumni Association for moderating this as well. I believe I have the heart and the head and the experience to do this work well. All of us have been through significant losses over the past 3 years. It's been a difficult time for everybody. I think this is a time that you can lead and lead well and lead for all in a profound way, and I'm looking forward to being able to do that in this role. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Turner.
I've had the lived experience. Been a COVID ICU nurse. I've been advocating for over a decade for the people of Minnesota. I have been there as a voice when no one could be a voice at the beginning of the pandemic. I have been to all four corners of this state. I am ready and willing to once again serve the people of Minnesota because it is my passion and my love, and the students, in my mind, are taking the same place as my patients and my profession does. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Luther.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here. I'm in this position because I simply want to give back. The U has meant so much to me in my entire life, for my family. My family got 7 degrees from the University of Minnesota, from our family farm out in west central Minnesota. I've had a broad range of experiences in my life, and I want those experiences to benefit the U. I want to make the U even better than it is today, and we can do that with accountability, more opportunity for access, more transparency, and we can make the U a trusted institution, which it should be in Minnesota, and that's my goal. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll be reading on behalf of William Humphreys again. If you want a voice in matters that concern diversity, equity, and inclusion, then you will support my candidacy to the Board of Regents. If not now, then when? It has been 35 plus years since a Black person was elected to the Board of Regents, and it is time to change that. As a regent of the University of Minnesota, you can trust that you, as stakeholders, will be seen, valued, and heard. Together, we can make our university truly our university. I appreciate you making the accommodations necessary for me to participate in today's forum, and thank you for your time.
Thank you to the candidates of the 2nd and 3rd Congressional District positions. Please hold applause for the very end of our program. I would now like to invite region candidates for the 8th and at-large positions to take their seats at the table.
Okay, we will now hear from Congressional District 8 and at-large candidates. Once again, we will start with opening statements, move on to prepared questions and questions from the audience, followed by closing statements. Answers are timed. Our timer will give you a 10-second warning by holding up a yellow paper sign, as you see here. University of Minnesota Alumni Association staff member Dan Gary will serve as your timer and hold up the sign. Once you see this yellow 10 seconds remaining signs, we ask that you wrap it up. A red stop sign will be waved when the time limit is reached. Now, Jim will start with our opening statements. We will start alphabetically by last name, and remember, you have 60 seconds for your response.
And we'll begin with the 8th Congressional District candidates, Susan Cohen.
I want to emphasize that my background is different and offers opportunities not covered by the existing board. I'm a small business owner in Minnesota, and the basis of my company is the use of science, especially agricultural science, to inform academics, government, and industry about risk management and federal regulations. My career path has taken me through 4 major land grant systems and other state and private universities. I have a PhD in environmental biology and public policy, and I feel that my varied and diverse experiences uniquely prepared me for a regent position at the University of Minnesota.
Thank you. Tad Johnson.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. I owe the University of Minnesota several things. First, the ability to make a living. I went to the law school there. Second, I had a fantastic career being a tribal attorney and working for the Congress, later the Clinton administration, and then at age 52 became a professor at UMD, created 2 master's programs that specialized in how to run reservations, which hadn't been done before and was done online. And finally, I was asked to represent the entire system and be a liaison to all the tribes in Minnesota. And I was honored when Governor Walz called me up and asked me to be a regent. And so consequently, I've been in that position for the last 6 months, and I'm honored to be reapplying for it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on now to the at-large position and Val Arsvold.
Thank you. I've dedicated my professional career of nearly 3 decades to the field of education, first as a high school teacher, and now in my current role as a nonprofit that supports over 40,000 students across the state of Minnesota. So my attention will always be on students, whether they're our own children that are ranging in ages 16 to 26, or your students, your child. All should have a place at the University of Minnesota, or at least be able to consider it as a viable option. I believe that the Board of Regents would benefit from having an experienced educator on the board for a major university. As Minnesota's land-grant university, we owe it to all Minnesotans to provide an affordable educational option for their students, while providing an obvious return on investment for our investment to all taxpayers. If elected, I would continue my efforts to hear from current and potential students and other stakeholders, work to bring transparency to the actions of the Board of Regents, and build back public support. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Burns.
Thanks, everyone. I've been teaching cartwheels for the last 40 years of my life at 3 different institutions, University of Iowa, University of Michigan, and for the last 18 years here at the University of Minnesota. And I think I bring a unique perspective, not only because I teach a one hell of a cartwheel, but because I have my finger on the pulse of students at the University of Minnesota every single day. I'm not so sure anybody else can say that. I also live in that community. I work in that community. I know people on the police department. I know faculty and staff. I know a lot of people at the U. And those, I've already started meeting with people because I want to know what the issues are. I know what some of the issues are. When I came to Minnesota 18 years ago, I thought this would be my retirement job. I retired a little sooner than I thought I would, not under my own terms. But What that provided me was the opportunity to get a little bit more engaged in what goes on at the higher levels of the university. And I've been to many, many, many University of Minnesota Board of Regents meetings. I've been in this building a lot. I was at the House Higher Ed Committee meeting this morning to watch President Gable do her presentation, and I feel like I've made some very good relationships. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebecca Siegmeier.
Thank you, and thanks to the Alumni Association for hosting tonight's event. My name is Rebecca Siegmeier, and I use she, her pronouns. I'm a proud alum of the University of Minnesota with a bachelor's in social welfare and a master of public affairs. As an undergrad, I was a student athlete, and I'm a member, I was on the women's track and field team, and I'm a member of the M Club Hall of Fame. My professional experience includes building and directing the SciTech internship program, where I've helped more than 2,500 college STEM majors find paid internships in nearly 600 small companies across Minnesota. Prior to this, I worked at Best Buy, where I led creative teams, managed a multi-million dollar workforce budget, and developed project performance analytics. As a regent, I will contribute my unique background in workforce development, governing experience, and passion for helping students reach their full potential to the issues facing the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Flora Yang.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Flora Yang, and I currently serve as the undergraduate student body president at the Twin Cities campus of the University of Minnesota. Next year, I'll be an incoming medical school student at the university as well, and last year, I served as the ex officio student representative to the current Board of Regents. Outside of the university itself, I also work at the, outside of academics, I also work at the university hospital as an EEG monitoring technician, and I also am a student researcher. With that said, I'm extremely grateful to the university, and I have immense respect for the university. However, currently there's a serious lack of effort to understand student perspectives and to respond to student inquiries. And so I think that now is a great opportunity for us and for the state of Minnesota to select a region that will prioritize students and increase transparency and accountability on all levels of decision making. And so I'm confident that my track record in advocating for student voices, my familiarity and experience with the board, my pre-existing professional relationships with the Board of Regents and other stakeholders will allow me to prioritize the university's vision.
Thank you. Moving on to our first pre-submitted question. Remember, you have 30 seconds to respond. How should the Board of Regents provide governance oversight to improve campus safety for all students? We'll start with the 8th Congressional District candidate, Tad Johnson.
Thank you. I think a good example of how to do this is community policing. I oversaw 32 police officers that were post-certified and federally deputized on a reservation. What we found was that by the community getting to know the police and there being some ombudsman with the people on the reservation, we could form a better law enforcement capability.
Susan Cohen.
The best models for campus safety involve communities working with police to identify effective strategies. Students can have a critical role in providing police with knowledge of the community. I also believe in enhanced security using technologies such as video surveillance, controlled access to residents and buildings, and other implementations that assure a secure campus and nearby environments. Still, such changes need to involve the communities they are designed to protect.
Thank you. We'll move on to the at-large position, and we'll start with Mike Burns.
Thank you. I think any kind of a problem needs to be addressed by one-on-one relationships. I have a personal relationship with Officer Jason Betts at the University of Minnesota Police Department. I reached out to him recently. I told him I wanted to go on a ride-along. And he says, well, you're going to have to get a background check. And I said, fair enough. And I think by doing that, you start to build those relationships that kind of strengthen the bond that helps keep the university glued together.
Thank you. Rebecca Siegmeier.
That's a great question. I think increasing visible security and police officer presence on and near campus, my understanding is that the campus itself is not in as much dire need for increased security as the near campus areas. I think on-demand ride and walk services should be increased. And then safety training, whether you're in the dorm, if you're at an athletic facility, freshman orientation, student groups, you know, bus signs, any way that you can to get information out to students about how to be safe.
Thank you. Flora Yang.
Yeah, I definitely think that campus safety is at the forefront of issues to address at the University of Minnesota, especially when you see the recent gas leaks and the fireworks incident, among so many others. And I think that the Strategic Safety Advisory Council so far is doing a great job, but there's still so much more to be done to ensure safety on campus for students and for faculty and everyone involved. And so I think there is a need for us to be consistently asking for feedback, not just from parents, from employees, from students. We need to be more proactive instead of reactive, like we've been in the past, and we need to make sure that students and other stakeholders not only are safe, but also feel safe on campus.
Thank you. Val Arsvold.
A lot has been said already, and I would agree with what has been spoken. And I think it goes to the point of relationships. And part of my preparation 2 years ago for the Board of Regents, but also this year, is to have some of those conversations with community members, whether they're communities that are right next to the campus footprint, or they're the ones that are in our Greek communities or our student body, and to learn from them. Where are the areas of concern, and how do we put those additional technology and officers and the resources to help them feel safe? They're the ones that know where the concern is, and they're also the partners to helping the next effort of safety on our campus.
Thank you. Before we move on to the second pre-submitted question, I want to remind the audience to submit questions using the online form at umnalumni.org/forum23 or by using the provided question cards. And here's the question. The Board of Regents is responsible for long-term planning for the success and stewardship of the university. How should the Board strategically plan the future course of the U of M over a period of up to 30 years? And we'll start with the 8th Congressional District candidates, Susan Cohen.
I think that's a great question because at this point, many times we get involved in short-term planning, and we forget our long-term plans. And that means we need to communicate to our legislators and our community in the campus communities and get everybody's input. I would suggest focus groups for that.
Thank you. Tad Johnson.
Thank you. The university right now has Impact 2025, which is a five-year strategic plan that involves all campuses. We need to do that for the entire system. I'm familiar with Morris, Rochester, Crookston, and UMD, and they all need to be involved as they currently are in that. For long-term planning, we need to look at stewardship as far as fiscal responsibility and overall accountability when it comes to the whole system.
Thank you. We'll move on now to the at-large position, Rebecca Siegmeier.
Thank you. I think the first thing that I would do if you're going to be looking out 30 years is to talk to the state demographer and understand what's coming, because without understanding what's coming, it's hard to make plans for that. But the second thing that I would do is a SWOT analysis, looking at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that are currently facing the university, and being able to project those out down the road, and stakeholder input for the near and far term, I think would also be beneficial. Thank you.
Thank you. Flora Yang.
I really appreciate this question. I would agree that there are long and short-term responsibilities that the Board of Regents has. In terms of short-term, we've seen a lot of COVID-19 related issues that the university really needed to address. However, I think that as one of the main responsibilities of the Board is to really see how we can increase the sustainability of our advocacy for our students and for our constituents, whether that means continuation of MPAC 25, whether that means the identification of the gaps within MPAC 25 and the creation of a new sort of 5-year, 10-year, 15-year, 30-year period of metrics and milestones for the university to hit in the long run.
Thank you. Val Arsvold.
As I think of looking out 30 years ahead, I certainly would want us to, as Rebecca said, do that SWOT analogy and figure out what is the unique thing that each of our five campuses offers those communities and the greater community, and then really develop that stakeholder group to help identify and also to challenge ourselves to think not just as the University of Minnesota, but how do we partner with Minnesota State? We have a really unique system here in Minnesota. We have two that I think sometimes view as competing when really they should be viewed as a partnering opportunity in some capacity. So I think as we look at the 30-year plan, again, identify what each campus is good at and unique and then support its development.
Thank you. Mike Burns.
I really like what Becky said about trying to get an understanding of what might the life like be on the earth in 30 years from now. And I would take a walk down to the University Vice President of Research, Shang Priva's office, and go, you got $1 billion worth of research money here. Can you tell us the kind of things that we're going to be dealing with down the road? Obviously, it's a prediction, but I think the science behind it could really help us in terms of how we're going to plan ahead. And that could give us a great opportunity to kind of be ready for what might hit us.
Thank you. That concludes the audience pre-submitted questions portion. We are now going to move on to questions from the audience, both in person and online. You each have 30 seconds to respond. The question is, how will you examine the challenges of declining enrollment and declining high school graduates? We'll start with 8th Congressional District candidate, Tad Johnson.
A declining enrollment is a problem nationally, and I think we need to come up with innovative solutions. One thing we did at the University of Minnesota Duluth was create a program that became national. We put it online, and suddenly we had students from California, Oklahoma, other states participating, and suddenly a department that would have been merged with another department became one of the front runners in its field.
Thank you. Susan Cohen.
I think you have to identify what are the issues that are causing this decline in enrollment. And if it is student finances, then we need to take a look at some developing partnerships with the legislature. So there's parity, reducing tuition, or we consider interest-free loans with the university or pay it forward programs. Okay.
Thank you. We'll move on to the at-large candidates, and we'll start with Flora Yang.
I think you're absolutely right that we are experiencing a declining in enrollment, and part of that is because we have a decrease in birth rates within not just Minnesota, but the nation itself. And so we are experiencing an enrollment cliff that's coming in around close to 2025. And so I think what we need to do as an institution is to have thoughtful consideration, innovative thinking, and strategic collaboration when it comes to working together with stakeholders. And one of the things we need to be able to do is really engage in outreach to students who are potentially matriculating to college, such as those in high school.
Thank you. Val Arsfold.
Thanks.
As I think about this, I certainly want us to think about what's the return on investment for a student who invests a lot of money into their education. And then I want to also think about the partnerships that can happen as business and industry invest in their employees. And maybe that's not the traditional student who's going to the U of M for a four-year degree, but maybe it's some of those additional investment of education in somebody who's already employed. And that would provide us an additional revenue stream, but at the same time, that return of investment is significant, and it should be communicated to the student and the employer that might invest in them.
Thank you. Mike Burns.
I think the value of a college education is extreme, but the cost is also extreme, and I think it's creating a situation where people can't afford to do it, or if they do it, they're coming out with so much debt that it's really hard to manage life in that sort of a situation. So I think there's got to be a way to start looking at a decrease in tuition. I know there was an increased request today from President Gable of 3.5%, but also an increase of $60 million in scholarship opportunities. So it's kind of like more scholarships, more tuition. Why don't you just get rid of the scholarships, get rid of the tuition, and make it a nice, even, affordable situation.
Thank you. Rebecca Siegmeier.
Thank you. I guess I agree with Val on the return on investment, and I would come across this issue in terms of placement rates. Placement, you have to know that you've got a job waiting for you after you leave school so that you can pay off your student debt. And, you know, the whole reason that you're going to school is to find that job. And so, you know, I know that President Gabel talks about the university's placement rate being fairly high, and I would say, as a regent, what would it take to have 100% placement rate? And I think that should be our goal.
Thank you. We'll move now to question four. The U of M is an economic engine that drives Minnesota forward and serves Minnesotans in many ways. How can the U of M strengthen its relationship with the legislature to partner in growing Minnesota? And we will start with the 8th Congressional District candidates, Susan Cohen.
Well, it's important to have good communication with the legislature, and I often hear that that is lacking, and I'd like to see that in. And if we partner with them, we talk about how we partner in our finances. And as an investment in the future so that we can handle these issues.
Thank you. Tad Johnson.
Thank you. I work very closely with the folks out in the field that work for the University of Minnesota. And there's a lot of economic development that can be taught and learned out in the field. And I think the university can bring a lot of more information, more knowledge, and look at the jobs of the future when it comes to rural Minnesota and urban Minnesota and grow more jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move now to the at-large position candidates. Val Arsvold.
A lot of opportunities here. When I think of my own background, I work very closely with agriculture as well as education, but I'll highlight a little bit about the agricultural piece. And the opportunities are unlimited as far as growing and developing projects here at the University of Minnesota, and then those being implemented into agriculture that would help with our food sustainability and the desire to produce in an environment that is sound environmental practices. Those things could have been and would have been developed at the University of Minnesota. So I think there's a lot of potential here. We just need to further explore it.
Thank you. Mike Burns.
Thanks. Yeah, I think part of the problem is the maybe the lack of relationship building that's going on between the regents and the state legislators. I've had the opportunity to be over in this building and Senate office building, the House office building for the last week, probably once every day. And I've gotten to meet a lot of people, and I think that's how you do it. One person at a time, one relationship at a time, one conversation at a time. And that's the beginning of building the base of cooperation.
Thank you. Rebecca Siegmeier.
Sure. I think economic development, and the way I look at it, is developing people. People are our greatest asset, whether you're at the university or you're at an organization or at the legislature. And preparing students for the workforce and giving them the knowledge and the skills and the experience that they need to hit the ground running is a great way to do economic development. Employers want experience. That's the number one thing that they're looking for. And in the internship program that I've been managing, that's what I've learned. And I would also love to see the university continue to convert as many of the University of Minnesota discoveries into startups as possible.
Thank you. Flora Yang.
I think there definitely needs to be increased communication with the Board of Regents, with legislators, just like there needs to be increased communication with students and every other stakeholders with the Board of Regents. I think the University of Minnesota has contributed more than $8.6 billion to the Minnesota economy this year. This past fiscal year, we had 22 patents, and we surpassed our 200, you know, the mark for 200 startups. And I think that you're absolutely right that our job as a university is to educate and graduate student leaders so that they can go back and contribute to the Minnesota community. And I think that there's definitely a lot more work that needs to be done here and a lot more work that we can do.
Thank you. We're going to move on to question number 5 from the audience, and that is, what would you do to reduce / freeze tuition? We'll start with 8th Congressional District candidate Tad Johnson.
Well, tuition is way out of hand. I know kids that graduate from the law school that come out owing $250,000 or more. And so I think we need to look at innovative, creative ways to reduce all that and make student loans more readily available to students at all levels, undergrad and graduate school. And the level of debt that we're saddling these kids with is way over what it needs to be.
Thank you. Susan Cohen.
Yeah, the tuition is too high, and you have to compare it against other schools. Students cannot afford to handle 10 years of debt paying back. This is because many of these loans have compounded interest, and they just can't get ahead. So the university could contribute and offer loans that are interest-free so that you come into the school and you're not paying that tuition, but you're paying it back later after you graduate, and you would not have to deal with that. The other is, of course, pay-it-forward systems.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to the at-large position candidates, and we'll start with Mike Burns.
Well, the state has a whole lot of money. Maybe we can borrow some of that. And is there a way to reduce tuition? I think that's probably a hard thing to do. Is there a way to decrease the expenses at the university? I think that's maybe a little easier thing to do. And by bringing the expenses down, maybe you can bring the tuition down. So I would start taking a look at the budget of the university.
Thank you. Rebecca Siegmeier.
I would look at what some of the peer schools in the Big Ten, especially, and what they're doing to keep their tuition down compared to Minnesota's, especially Iowa and Wisconsin are both a lot lower. I would also like to encourage the legislators here to invest in the University of Minnesota. I saw President Gabel's presentation today, and when the state investment goes down, tuition goes up, and there's a direct relationship with that.
Thank you. Flora Yang.
The university definitely has a lack in transparency and accountability, especially when requesting state funding in an effort to protect the theory of constitutional autonomy. And so no state money means that the university has only two options, changes in compensation or changes in tuition. And tuition, honestly, needs to be the last thing that is increased. And I completely agree that Wisconsin, in-state tuition for Wisconsin is two-thirds of what we have here in Minnesota, and that needs to change. And so the negative tuition and accountability cycle really needs, we need to step out of that cycle right now through increased consultation and a serious auditing of sort of our current practices to ensure that college is affordable for students, especially as a land-grant institution.
Thank you. Val Arsvold.
As I also tuned in today to hear the University of Minnesota's request, what I heard from the legislators is they want to invest in the University of Minnesota, but what they want to see is that transparency, that accountability, and the relationships. And I think that is what we all are trying to bring forward, is that we want to be part of finding a solution. We want the state to feel good about investing in our students, and I believe that they would if given the chance to influence more than what's happening right now and the decisions being made outside of the public venue. So I think, again, the rejection or the freezing of tuition is possible with stronger relations here at the legislature and in our greater Minnesota as well as urban communities.
Thank you. To stay on time, we'll move on to the 30-second closing announcements. Again, we will proceed in the opposite order as the opening statements. And we'll start with the 8th Congressional District positions and Tad Johnson.
Thank you. It's been my honor to work for the University of Minnesota. And the University of Minnesota actually saved my life. 26 years ago, my sister provided a kidney. It was put into my body by the University of Minnesota Hospital, and I'm very grateful for that. My wife and my two daughters and I all have degrees from the university, and I'm very grateful for that. And I'm very grateful for what the university has provided me, and I hope to give back. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan Cohen.
As the mother of a University of Minnesota PhD in electrical engineering and as a small business person who has worked with the University of Minnesota faculty for the entire 20 plus years in the state, I welcome the opportunity to participate in this unique way to plan the future growth and continual seeking of excellence by the University of Minnesota system. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on now to the at-large position. And Flora Yang.
As a full-time student right now, I've actually been reading a book in class called Leading Through Conflict, How Successful Leaders Transform Differences into Opportunities. And I think that there's one quote in there that I found really powerful. And it says that if we bring together the appropriate people in constructive ways with reliable information, we can create an authentic vision and strategies for addressing shared concerns at an institution and a community. And I think that that's exactly what I would do as a regent. As an institution, we need more transparency in decision-making. We need more accountability in our actions, and more importantly, we need to prioritize students in all of those decisions. And I think that my background puts me in a really unique position to make that happen, and I hope I get the opportunity to do so.
Thank you. Rebecca Siegmeier.
Well, thanks again to the University of Minnesota Alumni Association for hosting tonight's event. I appreciate the engagement of the community in this process and the opportunity to talk with you today. As a regent, again, I will bring my governing experience, unique background in workforce development, and a passion for helping students reach their full potential. I look forward to the opportunity to work with fellow regents in making our university the best that it can be. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Burns.
I had the good fortune to be an employee of the university for 17 years, from 2004 till 2021. And I love this university. It's a great place. I think it's a special place, and people who come here from out of state end up loving it and moving here, becoming Minnesota citizens like I have become. I want to see that continue to happen, and I feel like I could bring something to the table that's going to be able to provide an opportunity for this institution to continue to grow and improve and move forward.
Thank you. Belle Arsvold.
I put students in the forefront of all my efforts, but what I hope you've also heard tonight is that I intend to continue being a student, and that is that I would make solid business decisions based on information from all stakeholders. When I ran for the Board of Regents 2 years ago, I was so committed. I talked to nearly 50 legislators. I talked to students, faculty, and staff from all of the campuses. I maintain that commitment. The reason that the University of Minnesota is strong and great is because many voices are heard. I'm committed to providing transparency in decision-making and helping the university reconnect with Minnesotans across the state. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to each of you, Regent candidates, for being with us tonight and for your interest in serving as a member of the Board of Regents. On behalf of the University of Minnesota Alumni Association, thanks to all of you in the audience for attending the Regent Candidate Forum. Thank you to my co-moderator, Jim Dubois, who has been so lovely to work with, as well as who will now share information about the reception to immediately follow.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I enjoyed working with you as well. We now invite all of you to join us upstairs in room 316 for a reception with light snacks and refreshments on the third floor, where you will have an opportunity to meet the candidates individually. University of Minnesota Alumni Association staff in maroon and gold will help direct you. Lastly, let's give all of the candidates a round of applause.
Good back and forth.
Yes.
Good energy. Good flow.
So much fun.